You'd have to be hiding under a rock if you haven't seen all the headlines in the real estate industry about buyer agency in the future, and candidly, many of them come from a position of being defensive sounding or doom and gloom sounding or denial sounding. And the reality is we don't know the future yet, but what we do know is that value always wins. Now, in today's conversation, I'm joined by an expert guest, the co-founder of Thousand Watt, which is a premier marketing agency and research solution in the real estate space, Brian Boero. And this conversation was incredible. Yes, I've already had the conversation with Brian. I'm recording the intro after the fact, and I can tell you what to expect. This conversation is going to intensify as we go. So make sure you're at a place and time where you can go through the entire episode, whether you're listening or watching. Make your way through it in its entirety to get takeaway insights on how you could and should be marketing yourself to buyers today. How do you cut through the noise of the media with what's happening to talk to your consumer in a way that builds trust beyond what it ever was? Welcome to This Week in Marketing. My name is Jason Pantana. I'm your host, and I'm so glad you're here today. Whether you're watching or listening, please make sure to subscribe so that you can see future episodes in your feeds so you never miss a beat in terms of what's happening in the space of marketing. And today's conversation is absolutely mission critical. I mean, again, you'd be under a rock if it hasn't been a part of your conversation and you're in the real estate space. I want to hear from you. What are your comments? What are your questions? What are your thoughts as Brian and I have this conversation together? And I don't want to take up any more time cutting into the interview. So let's jump straight to the interview with Brian Boero. All right, everybody watching and listening right now knows there's so much happening in the space of buyer's agents and what is the value proposition of a buyer through the lens of how you articulate it in your marketing, through the lens of the consumer's perception of buyer's agents. And today's conversation, I have an absolute rock star expert who has so much insight and research to bring validity to the conversation so you can aim your marketing in the right direction. You can, as Wayne Gretzky once said, skate where the puck is going to be. So Brian, thank you so, so much for agreeing to come on and talk today about what you've learned the consumer's perception is of a buyer's agent.
Jason, thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here too. So let's start by this. We all know there's lawsuits brewing, still brewing, not finalized. There's so much noise and speculation. I think I would ask first, what's your general commentary? We're recording this on April 15th, tax day. And so a lot could happen. A lot might happen. A lot might not happen. Things will take different shapes. What's your general point of view today in terms of how we should be looking at just the scenario at large from a buyer agent standpoint?
Sure. So my view on this has been not to speculate as to the ultimate outcome, because I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an expert on the inner workings of the Department of Justice or the FTC. To be clear, I do not know how this is all going to resolve. But what I do know is that the atmosphere in which we operate in this industry, particularly those who work on the buy side, that has changed and it's unstable and it's fluid. So that we know, that the way things are today are not likely to look the same in 6 months or a year from now. And so we have to anticipate that and sharpen our tools to make sure that whatever the final details or shape of all of this comes out, we're prepared. And yep. By the way, I would say, even if very little changes, and it's, let's say it's a nothing burger, yeah, it is never a bad idea to better understand your customer and to get better at articulating and delivering value.
I've been speaking at events and I've had two talking points. One, get better at articulating your value proposition. No bad ever comes from that. And two, get more listings. No bad ever comes from that. Either way, you're squared.
Either way, yes, exactly.
I love it. All right. So talk about some of the research. And what's fascinating and why I'm so grateful you're here is I know Thousand Watt has been doing research well before the latest, most recent news headlines started to hit the fan, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What have you been learning and studying, and what kinds of questions you've been asking the consumer about buyer's agency as a whole? Let's start there, because to me, you got to understand where you're going and what matters to the consumer in terms of anticipating their needs and wants in your marketing.
Yeah. So Jason, we've been doing interviews and survey research with buyers nationwide for the last couple of years. And we started really focusing those conversations and that research effort on what consumers know and do not know and value and do not value as it pertains to buyers agent services. And the first thing that became extremely clear right off the bat is that there is a vacuum that exists in terms of buyer knowledge about what a good agent is, what a crummy agent is, what a great buyer agent does, what a crappy agent doesn't do. And so we find ourselves in this situation where our customer does not understand our value. And in fact, we did a survey last fall with 1,000 recent home buyers, people who had bought in the last 3 years, and almost half of them had no recollection of how their agent got paid. So these are people who have been through the process in the last 3 years. So we completely hid the ball on the compensation conversation and entered into this relationship that ended with people, for the most part, feeling good, but definitely not understanding what their agent did and did not do. And that's a dangerous place to be in, right? As I always say, if you don't tell your story, somebody else will. And what is happening right now is that the buyer's agent's story is being told by everybody but the buyer's agent. Right? Mm-hmm. The media is saying agents are obsolete and are paid too much because they don't do these things, and we have internet search sites, et cetera. So that's number one. Secondly, when we really dive deep into the value that a buyer's agent can deliver, the number one thing that comes up over and over again is risk mitigation. So people are scared. They don't know what they don't know. And they are hiring an agent and ultimately value them most for mitigating their risk. Huh. If you translate that into the things that a buyer agent does, it is interpreting the properties that your client is interested in, understanding what is in the disclosure documents, knowing all of the local ordinances that may impact that buyer, getting the appropriate inspections if you have the opportunity to do so, interpreting pest reports, all those things that a good agent does to do due diligence on a property. The buyer's core need is, this is a big, scary thing, and I don't want to screw it up. And so when you dig deeper, that's sort of the core emotional state of the buyer, and the agent serves that emotional need directly through risk mitigation. So I don't need you to find me a home.
There are I was going to say,
I can go to the open house. I don't really need you to open the door for me. What I need you to do is help me not screw this up.
It's funny because when you, I'm making this up speculatively, but I imagine when you ask most agents, what do they believe they do that's of most value to a buyer? They might talk about their skills and their abilities to negotiate the best possible terms on behalf of the buyer. Yes. And we tend to focus from a marketing standpoint on what we're going to give you. Here's all the stuff I'm going to give you in the box to give you stuff.
Yeah.
But if you look at human nature is wired to avoid risk. Human nature is wired for loss aversion. And in fact, we have a really big opportunity as marketers in terms of how we talk about our services from a buyer agent standpoint to recognize that based upon your research, and I fundamentally agree with it, the number one value prop through the eyes and the ears and the filter of the buyer is, how do you help me not make the wrong decision?
Absolutely. And
all the ways you can talk about the avoidance of risk and how we, it's not just about getting you the best possible terms. It's about not getting you the worst possible terms. If you can catch my meaning behind that, avoiding the risk of it.
No, that's a good way of putting it. And people do value negotiation. Mm-hmm. They want to know, hey, what is enough to offer to get this house, but what is too much? What is overpaying? Right. So that's there. But number one on the risk on the list is, I don't want to screw this up. Mm. I don't want to buy a money pit. I don't want to live with regret. I don't want to imperil myself financially. That's what I want my realtor to help me avoid.
Mm. What else have you seen in your research? Is there anything beyond, like, I love that point. What else have you seen?
Well, you know, interestingly, when you talk to people, and we've done focus groups on this with buyers, and when you ask these buyers, well, were you happy with your agent? Most will say yes, and we've seen that kind of research from NAR for years and years and years. But when you say, look, was there ever a point where you questioned your agent's value? And the thing that comes up the most is, well, you know, I found my own house. My agent didn't find it for me, right? So there's a bit of a misconception there that leads to questioning of value. And so what's interesting, Jason, is when you read most of the big headline articles from the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, everywhere, we've all seen them. The logic goes like this. Despite the rise of home search apps and homes being online, realtors still command this level of compensation. So the logic that you see in the media is because the homes are out there to be found for themselves, why do you need an agent? And then when you talk to buyers, if they're inclined to question the value, it's over the fact that the agent didn't find the house for them.
Yeah, almost as if they've been cued to question that fact, even though that's not really where they place their core value.
Exactly. So we have had, I think, an unhealthy obsession with real estate search in this industry, right? So every agent or brokerage, every team has a website. Usually right in the front of that website is a search function. So what are you telling people? My value is helping you find a home. Well, that's a trap. And in fact, most great buyer's agents know that finding a home is not even in the top 10 of the things that they do on behalf of their clients that are important. So that was another really interesting insight. So when you're talking to buyers, get ahead of that. Say, hey, look, you have apps and you have thousands of websites in our market where you can find your home. My job is to help you take the next 10 steps. To help you figure out if the homes that you are seeing online are the home for you. So I would proactively neutralize that because there's a big area of misunderstanding there.
I think this goes back to some of the core points you made in the very from the very get-go, that we have done as an industry a poor job of laying out expectations. I remember I used to be a real estate agent years ago when I first got into this industry, and my broker would train me and say, she had this famous line, expectations can only be met when they're understood. And she trained us ad nauseum to set expectations up front. In fact, at a listing appointment, it is completely normal to say to a seller, hey, what's most important to you in terms of the agent you hire? What are you looking for as far as your expectations are concerned in terms of the listing agent you enlist with this responsibility? That's a common set of questions to be asked of a listing agent. So you can listen and take their feedback. And then in some cases say, well, yes, we're going to do that. But actually, no, it's more like this, not like that. And have a conversation of, we would put it under the umbrella of transparency, but it's really about setting expectations. Here's what it is. Here's what it isn't. Here's what it is. Here's what it isn't. And we have failed to do that as a buyer industry. And I would also like to make a comment about the search sites.
Yeah.
Search sites, you're right that we have created a conditioning belief that, hey, this is what we offer to you. We help you search for homes. Even though what's really happening is, hey, this is the way the industry generates leads. We understand that if you can find a home you think you'd like and you raise your hand on it, it gets us in the game with you. And and I was having this conversation last week. We were talking about the difference between seller leads and buyer leads. And with buyer leads, there are different ways to generate a lead, but one of the most prominent ways to generate a lead is offer them a house and see if they want to see it. And if they want to see it, you can infer that they have some measure of intent to want to buy real estate. And even if it isn't the house for them, you just send them more houses and more houses and more houses until eventually there it is, the one they want to go buy.
If you think about content in relative to your marketing, that's what listings are online. They're great engagement tools. But if you think about it, even before the internet, go back 30 years, we all had access to the real estate section of the newspaper where we would see 90% of the homes open that weekend. Finding the house has never been a core element of the buyer agent's proposition, right? And yet we have clung to that for decades. At the same time, we have been lazy about articulating value and lazy about even explaining compensation. So because compensation was sort of baked into the cake, it's kind of a wonky conversation.
Maybe let's avoid it,
brush over it, right? That muscle of explaining our value got really, really weak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are. And there's an opportunity. And the good news is based upon your research, we already know what the buyer most values is risk mitigation. And so it's simply a matter of saying, well, how do I start to talk about the pitfalls to be avoided, the lessons to be learned, the best case and the worst case scenarios? I mean, there's just a nonstop supply of marketing content for your content and your emails and your videos and your ads that directly appeal to the needs of the consumer. And I do think your point is well received. We have relied upon search as a crutch to convert leads in our industry because it's been built in and easy. And to what degree that changes, I don't know. But regardless, there's an opportunity here today to start setting better expectations, to be clear about the value you bring to a buyer so they understand how they can best utilize your services in terms of purchasing what is likely the largest investment in their lifetime, their house.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I love it. And going back to the differences, I mean, with sellers, we're so much better versed and trained on having those conversations because we've never had the same built-in functions. You can't just keep sending a home valuation every other day to a seller and say, what do you think about it today? How about today? Not today. How about tomorrow? It doesn't work the same way that it does with buyers. And so you're forced to look in the mirror at yourself as a listing agent and say, what am I offering to the client here? And now we're going to have a level of transparency similar with the buy side.
Yeah, for sure. And you had to speak about compensation regularly and explicitly, right?
That's right.
You had to get good at having that conversation.
If you were a buyer's agent today with all of this brewing, how would you, from a marketing standpoint, position your services?
I would position my services around helping you get it right. People want to be successful at things, okay? Buying a house is a big thing, and people want to be successful at it. So my messaging would be around saying, look, this is a big deal. You want to do it right. It's not easy. It's hard. Right? Too many, including many online companies, make the claim, oh, real estate made easy. No, it's not easy. Okay. You're going to do this really hard thing that carries some risk. And here are all the ways I'm prepared to help you get that thing right and avoid a bad outcome. It's pretty straightforward. It has nothing to do with finding you a house. It has nothing to do really with just filling out paperwork or opening doors for you. Right? I'm here to help you have a successful home buying experience. And if you're good as a buyer's agent, you can tell that story all day long. We just haven't done it. The system has been set up to make us pretty much complacent.
Yeah, and it's just, we haven't had to have, it's like avoiding a hard conversation because you don't have to have it. And now the conversation is here and it's time to be had. I don't mean to say that it's hard per se. I mean to say that it's important and critical. Why rock the boat if you don't have to has been perhaps the mindset. But today, there's a massive opportunity. All right, so I love your idea of, I'm going to help you make the smartest move. Here's how I'm going to help you. What would be some of those documented milestones? And here's what I'm picturing in my mind, if we could workshop this together for a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the means that an agent might use today to try to generate, I call it demand generation. Well, I didn't coin that term. It's an actual marketing term. Demand generation is where you try to perhaps show yourself showing properties. You're out in the field and it almost creates this sense of, oh, other people are out there looking and buying houses. That looks like fun. I want to do it too, as a way to activate and prime people's senses to the possibility of buying a property. How would you, but that's showing homes. That's generally the easy stuff. Yeah. How would you go deeper? What are some of the topics you might consider or the ways you might format your content to really dive into the risk mitigating factors in talking about your value prop? And I'm imagining videos on social, emails, et cetera.
I would say, for example, you could talk about disclosure reports and how to make sense of them, right? And how to see in them the things that the seller doesn't necessarily want you to see. Right?
Yeah.
Pest reports. So I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, old housing stock, right? Every listing has a pest report, right? And it's kind of hard to parse through those to determine what is a problem and what is not a problem. Yeah. So showing that process of how you make those determinations based on knowledge and tenure and skill and all those things, I think would be a good place to start, right? Yeah. There are local ordinances. You know, again, my area, we have, sewer lateral issues. You know, you got to redo the sewer lateral, city ordinances and all that. Nobody knows about this stuff. But if you don't think about it going into it, and it pops up during the transaction, that can be a deal killer. So what I would speak to is the things that buyers don't know that they don't know about the process of buying a home, and use that as an opportunity to demonstrate my ability to anticipate and see things that you have no idea are even issues.
Yeah, well, and I think it could also be, if you don't want to go too far and inadvertently position yourself as if you are a home inspector. There's an opportunity to interview with home inspectors, bring on some of those guests and bring their expertise in, because part of the value prop of a buyer's agent is their ability to manage the transaction like an account manager, like a product manager, in the sense of working with all the specialists and vendors who bring the transaction to fulfillment. It doesn't mean you're a home inspector per se, but it means you have enough knowledge to oversee and facilitate a process and tap into the expertise of a specific home inspector. And I believe, like to your example, the sewer and the oil and the different types of inspections, there are inspections people have never even thought of or heard of and didn't even know existed. What an opportunity, not to create fear or sound an alarm, but to create demand for the necessity of an agent who can help you mitigate risk in the largest transaction of your lifetime.
Yeah. You know, another idea, Jason, tell me what you think about this. To tell stories of buyers and their transactions, right? I mean, sure, we all get the testimonial, right? It goes on Yelp, Zillow, or Google, wherever.
They were the greatest. They saved my life.
Everybody's a five-star agent now, right? Why don't you go deeper and tell the stories and tell the hard parts, right? And say, look, oh my God, you know, something turned up in title about this easement. Nobody knew was there, right? And here's how I worked through it, negotiated with the seller, and we figured out a solution. Right? Yeah. Tell the story. It's sort of a different take on just the testimonial, which everybody's doing right now.
It's a case study.
It's a case study.
Yeah, right? I love that.
And sure, it's a little bit harder to get and you got to write it and some buyers won't want to participate, but you'll have buyers want to talk about their experience.
Yeah, well, and I think maybe an important practice would be to start training your brain to look for those moments in your current transactions. Totally. To take 5 or 10 minutes and make a list of, slow your brain down long enough to think for a minute and make a list of 10 encounters you had in a transaction that are worthy of mention, and then start to create content around that.
Yes.
And it may seem as if, oh, this is so much busy work, but it's not busy work. This is you training yourself to learn to talk like the marketer you have to be. Yeah. In order to create demand for your services as a buyer's agent going forward. I agree, these stories matter. And we've had clients who have made various, sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not funny. I think you can take your own brand and, you know, put that into the flavor in terms of how you go about this. And obviously you have to watch out for, you know, not violating confidentiality or anything like that that could get you in trouble. But I believe the idea of the real stories in real estate, and what happened and how you solved and mitigated the challenges, and making that a piece of your content going forward will certainly be I love that idea, Brian. I love that idea.
Well, you know, I'll give you another, this one really blew my mind. Another stat. So we did a survey last summer, just before all this weirdness, the trial verdict and everything. And we surveyed 1,000 people, 22 to 35, okay, so Gen Z and mid-millennials. Yep. And we wanted to know how these folks viewed real estate professionals. And what was interesting is these people, these generations, have much higher regard for real estate professionals than their generational predecessors, okay, which is super interesting. And then we asked, and these are folks who, you know, they weren't realtors, first of all. We filtered that out. Anybody in business, we filtered out. These were renters. These are people who had not bought, aspiring homeowners. And 65% either followed or regularly come across real estate agents on social media, right? There were 36% of these respondents who follow real estate people on social media, okay? So they're seeing all this content, and they're liking most of it. And this is our next generation of homeowners. So what I would suggest is that if you have this audience, people are inherently interested in this. They desire home ownership. They're thinking about it months or years in advance. Start educating in that regard, that you are the person that can help them be successful at this thing that they really, really want. That's scary, right?
You know what's so powerful about that? I'm thinking of a couple of our coaching clients, and I'm also thinking about another stat that you all shared from the seller side that I'll get to in a moment. And the stat is, the clients I'm thinking of is Brad McCallum, who's in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and then Zachary Faust, who's in Milford, Delaware. And both of them use the same language in recent interviews I had with them, where they talked about the importance of in your videos, when you're talking to buyers, of having high empathy. Empathy for the situation that they are struggling with affordability. Yep. They don't know what they don't know. I think that it is such music to my ears to hear that there's a level of respect and value automatically placed on the information that an agent provides. Because you're right, there are, I mean, I don't want to get too into demographic or generational trends, but there certainly has been enough studies in the past that give the perception that the American public doesn't have a high degree of value for real estate agents or a high degree of respect or whatever. Notwithstanding, what these Brad and Zachary are finding, what they're finding is when they can speak with empathy, talking about the real challenges facing renters, for instance, in terms of buying homes, trying to provide practical solutions or steps they should be taking now to get themselves on the path toward home ownership, the response has been unbelievably welcomed. I mean, they're so happy. The buyers come out and say, nobody's talking to us like this. We appreciate it. It's really how we feel. And there's a massive opportunity to be the agent who can connect with those folks on a meaningful level right now. And I think your stat about social media is incredible. What was the stat, the percentage of buyers in that age demographic who are following?
36% follow real estate people. Okay. These are people who don't own homes, but want to. 65% either follow or come across real estate agents regularly in social media, wherever they're at. Right. Well, so, and their favorability towards real estate agents is significantly higher than their generational predecessors. Interesting about the two coaching clients, it tracks with A, what we found, but what I've always said is that the best script is the truth, no matter how complex or discouraging it may be. Yep. And so we have tested different messages with aspiring home buyers in our research. And we'll put, you know, here's the happy talk. It's a good time to buy, marry the house, date the rate, all that type of stuff. Then we say, well, it's a terrible time to buy. And then the middle option is, if you really desire to own a home and can manage to get financing and favorable terms from a seller, it may be a good time for you. But only if those things are true. And that's the truth, right? So the response in terms of, you know, which message resonates with me, obviously the one that's kind of messy and conditional and complicated, but is true wins, right?
Yes.
Yes. So be the truth teller. Be the one that says the hard things. And you, as you said, Jason, empathy.
Yeah.
Recognize the emotional truth that is sitting within your customer or your prospect. And you can never go wrong doing it that way.
Well, and candidly, a couple of things are starting to go off like light bulbs in my head. Okay. If people's buyers' truest sense of value inferred from your services is related to your ability to help them mitigate risks, then if you're always up there with a smile on your face, talking about the good old times and the perfect timing, and it's always, that's disingenuous. And it does not align with somebody who's ultimately seeking somebody who's got their back, who's watching it from the real angles and helping them make the best possible choices. So I think that that's a case to be made for why you should tell the truth in your marketing. I remember when I was an agent, I had another agent say to me once, the truth always wins. It always wins. Tell the truth. I love that. The other thing I would encourage everyone watching or listening to consider right now is if you look at today's social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, et cetera, those platforms, and I talk about it on this show a lot, those platforms are predicated on distributing content based upon viewers' interests. So what that means is if somebody you don't know in your marketplace is interested in real estate and you consistently make content about real estate in your marketplace, the algorithm is seeking to understand, oh, your page makes content like this for people like that. And so there's a built-in mechanism for your content getting recommended to those people in their feeds. So they discover you through your authenticity, through your empathy, through your knowledge and skills. This is exactly what I've been looking for. I need an agent who's going to tell it like it is so I can make the best possible choice. Yeah. And I do believe, Brian, there's a time and a case to be made for the good news about buying real estate. Hey, the good news is markets go up and down, but if you look historically over the averages, real estate is arguably the best appreciating asset you could buy. So even if it's a difficult time, if you can secure the opportunity today, it's worth your consideration in the long term, as long as that aligns with your long-term plans. But my point is, there's a time and a place to know when to say it's a good time versus when it's a good time if, and have that language of qualifying when it's a good time if.
Yeah, exactly. Because the truth is messy and it's nuanced.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But my goodness, I think if everybody watching this show took the time to say, I'm going to document 10 case studies in my recent transactions, that if I could find a way to put those in reels or emails or videos in an appropriate way, that could become a spearhead of my content. I think that would be a meaningful exercise right now. And I think bearing in mind the fact that the emerging generation right now, who will become the dominant force in the marketplace, is already looking to follow you, what an opportunity to supply the videos they're seeking on social right now.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to marketing, we're a look around industry. We look around at what others are doing or whoever's most successful. And we do that when we should be a look inward industry, right? It's like, figure out what you're about, figure out what you're strong about, figure out what you're willing to say that others in the market are not willing or able to say. And that's your marketing, right? Not what everybody else is doing. So for better and for mostly worse, being the truth teller in the marketplace is kind of a wide open territory.
Especially on this opportunity with all the changes around buy side, you could really lead the pack and set a precedent for how we describe our value proposition moving forward with whatever the state of that looks like as details continue to unfold right now. Again, the truth always wins. And the truth is, a buyer's agent is a highly valued role by the consumer. And therefore, I don't foresee a future where there's not an opportunity to provide those services to buyers because it's what the consumer wants. Does it look different? Does the industry change? Probably. To what degree, I don't know exactly. But again, if you tell the truth and if you look inward, and I think there's a lot of truth in that too, like looking inwardly. I've had a line I've used in the past where I say marketing is the documentary of your business. What I don't mean is that you should brag about yourself left and right all the time. I don't mean that you are the hero in the story. What I mean is, the best source of content for you to produce for your marketing is to look at how you're serving clients today and yesterday and the day before that, and then apply the lessons that you learned through those processes to educate the future consumer so they know what to expect in terms of moving forward and buying a house.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you completely. Yeah. This is the greatest marketing and brand building moment that this industry has had since the great financial crisis. I do believe that. It's scary and we don't know how it's all going to land and there's uncertainty and everybody has an opinion and this and that and the other thing. I think there's a tremendous opportunity right now.
I'll ask you this and we'll close with this question because I agree. Right now, I framed it like this to many of my clients. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of brand right now. Yeah, and so the way you frame it, can it work for your brand or against your brand? What would be your principle-based statement to everybody watching right now in terms of how they leverage the opportunity and they don't trip up over their own feet on it?
Well, the short version is be the agent or the team or the brokerage who is speaking to this moment with candor and authenticity. Right. If we know right now that the American consumer has been activated by all of this media coverage in a way that they have never been activated before, and they got all these ideas in their head, speak to it. Don't shy away from it. Don't cower in a corner. People have questions. And if you're good, you have the agent, that you have the answers to those questions. So step towards it, not away from it. Walk into the uncertainty and the confusion with insights and intelligence, and stop letting other people tell your story.
May I also add, I would walk into those conversations with humility at this moment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I wrote a little bullet point for a presentation last week, and who knows if it makes sense or not, but I said, value only ever plays offense, never defense. And I think a lot of people in a time of change, they're going to seek to bullet point filibuster their value proposition by saying, well, I do this, 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 and this. And what about this, this, and this? And there's this, this, and this. And they're going to get defensive. And when you're defensive sounding, that's not coming from a position of value. Value always comes from a standpoint of giving more. And so in those conversations, be generous, be humble, be open-minded, And yeah. I believe that in doing that, you will invite the consumer to trust you in a way they never have before and beyond what you could have imagined.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Brian, you've been awesome. Thank you so much for this research and this insight. And where can they connect with you? And if they want to get their hands on some of the research that 1000W is doing, would you advise them on that, please?
Yeah, for sure. So our website is 1000W.net, 1000WATT.net. You can see some of our research there. We have a membership program. We're doing a summit in June in Dallas where we're going to unpack research and some of our new stuff. So there are lots of ways to engage with us.
I love it. Awesome. Brian, thank you very much. For everybody watching, I want to know in the comments, what is your biggest takeaway today? How are you going to lead with value? Until next week, this is This Week in Marketing.